welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And this is Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Similarly Breast Pumps. From ultra tiny pumps, as small as a sticky note, fully adjustable pumps with 85 combination settings, you're in control of your pumping journey. And today's episode is also brought to you by Mama's Liquid Love Breast Milk Jewelry. Moms all around the world mail Mama's Liquid Love their inclusions, and through a unique chemical and mechanical process, they convert your inclusions into a beautifully crafted keepsake. So definitely stay tuned for more about our sponsors later. But you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. If you ever need anything, see if you can give them any of your business, because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address, and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we're on Patreon, and we hope to see you over there. We're having Zoom hangouts with each other once a week. I mean, once a month. There's no way we could coordinate schedules for every week.
Oh my God.
It's hard enough once a month. We have ad-free episodes. We have our mini podcast videos. We have weekly wellness checks where we check in with each other and just vent and seek advice or talk about what's going on. It's lots of fun. So head to the link at the top of the show notes, wherever you're listening from. You can also find that over at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. And we're also still hosting our ongoing giveaway. You can always just, I know people wonder if it's still going on. So it's still going on. It's just always going on. So leave a review somewhere, like on iTunes or whatever podcast app you listen to. If you can leave a written review or a stars or whatever it is that you can do, and send a screenshot over to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com along with your address. And we'll send you a little goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing in public cards. And now Diane has our review of the week.
I do. It's a short and sweet one. This is one of my go-to podcasts for everything motherhood. Super informative and encouraging. Love. So that was, and that's it. That's all she did. That's all she had to write. That's all we needed. That's all we needed.
That's so lovely. Thank you for reading. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I just
almost
issues.
Knocked my, I almost swiped my microphone off the table.
So excited about the review.
Yes.
But we love to be your go-to podcast. So thank you so much.
Yeah, that's fun for us.
It is.
That's what we hope. That you're getting all of your information from us and nowhere else.
Yes. And I love that she put up for all things motherhood.
Yeah. We like to talk about things beyond breastfeeding if we can.
Yeah, we do that a lot on Patreon.
We talk about that more on Patreon.
Yeah. But sometimes we don't. We do it here, but not as much as we do on Patreon.
We do probably. Like sleep and stuff. We do a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. People are listening to the podcast going, yeah, we know.
So thank you very much. And yeah, definitely send us your reviews. We'll send you some stuff. If you don't get your stuff, let us know. Sometimes we forget.
Oh, totally.
But definitely let us know if you haven't received it in a reasonable amount of time. And today we are going to talk about 5 tips to breastfeeding success. The newborn edition, which means there's more editions coming. But this is for newborns. So your brand new babies, your newborn edition.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. My first tip is skin to skin, which you might be like, well, what does that have to do with breastfeeding? Everything. Those babies skin to skin, keep that baby skin to skin. I know that they put the babies on the parents right after delivery. That's the first thing they do is pop that baby right up on your skin, right on your chest. And that is wonderful. That is absolutely fantastic. Those babies, it's a great way for them to transition from the womb onto the earth. And it is really, really great for them to be there. It helps to regulate their breathing and to regulate their body temperature. I mean, their body temperature, the parent's body temperature will actually, the birth parent body temperature will actually regulate to adapt to whatever it is that the baby needs, which is quite fascinating. So their body temperature will be more regulated. Their blood sugars will be more regulated. They'll be more self-regulated themselves. They'll cry less. They just way, way better for the first feed to have them right there skin to skin. And sometimes, like, I've heard people say, oh yeah, keep the baby skin to skin until the first feeding. There's no limit. There's no time limit. You can keep that baby skin to skin as much as you want to and all the time. I know when I used to work at the hospital, if a baby wasn't feeding well, we would just put that baby right back skin to skin again, because that really helps them to kind of regroup and know where they are. And then they're going to smell you and they start to look for the breast when they're skin to skin with you. So even when you're home with the baby, this doesn't have to be like, I know we said newborn edition, but newborns, how long is a newborn, would you think?
I don't know. I usually say like 3 months.
Is it like newborns about 3 months?
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that's a little long.
But you can still do skin to skin.
Yeah. Oh, like, God. You can do. Yeah. I did skin to skin with my toddlers, like when they were sick and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember Exley peeing on me.
Oh, my God.
When he was a toddler. I don't know, you know, two or something. And he had a fever. And I was like, all right, let's get in the chair. And he just like napped on my chest. And I was like, it's really warm all of a sudden. And I was like, what's happening? Oh, he's peeing.
Oh my God.
He didn't have a diaper on. It was just like, just happened. You know, he was so tired and took his diaper off. And then I was like, just forget it. Just, he's finally sleeping. Let's just leave it. And then he peed on me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, skin to skin is like, so that's, I mean, that's just like the default. Like you can, God. Like when you can just wear like a button down shirt or even like a t-shirt and just cut it down the front. And just have that. And you could put the baby in the carrier even and have it, you know, you think about like when you see, I don't know, women in Africa or something where have these babies like tied to their chests and, you know, our humans have, ouch, oh my God, I just banged my finger on my chest. Ow. I'm having a lot of problems today, but we are like made to carry our babies. Our babies, you know, like you're like, and you think about like the way that you're built and you have the space in between your breasts, like that's for your baby.
Mm-hmm.
This is all designed for holding an infant.
Yeah.
And their little legs go up, you know, like a monkey.
Little frog legs.
So they can be on you. Yeah. That's for being on you.
Yeah. And when you're home. So one of the other things is that people ask me about all the time is, should I undress my baby for feedings? And if you have a baby, so if you're in like the first week of life and your baby's still really sleepy, when you're home and you're changing a diaper before a feeding, I would say just strip that baby down, because babies will do better if they're skin to skin. And that counts. So if you like take your shirt off to feed the baby, or you're just in a nursing bra and the baby is baby's just in a diaper, they're right up against your skin. And that counts as skin to skin contact for that baby. And that is also really great for a feeding, because they tend to wake up a little bit better and they tend to respond a little bit better. So you don't have to undress them when you're out in public or anything like that, or in the middle of the night. I'm always like, don't do it in the middle of the night, because then everybody's up and you just want everybody to go back to sleep. So, but if it's the middle of the day and you're just home and you have to change the diaper anyway and half undress them to change the diaper, then I would just undress them. And just be, you know, skin to skin for that feeding. Bath after baths, some skin to skin time. It is just really, really great for babies, and it is really great for feedings. And babies can smell the colostrum and the milk, and they know that they're close by, and they just will tend to, you know, try to get there on their own for feeds if they're not feeding well. It's just such a great place for that baby to be, and it calms them. And they've done, there's so much research on skin to skin. It is really such an amazing thing on how much benefit there is for parents and for babies when they're skin to skin. It helps their stress levels go down and oxytocin rises. It's just really fantastic. But the, what are you going to say? Oh my goodness, I just lost it. It'll come back to me. Yeah, it'll totally come back to me. But it is really, really, really an amazing process for babies to be skin to skin. Oh, I remember they've done a lot of research on this, and it shows that babies that are skin to skin early and often with their parents can, they actually cry less the first year of their life because they learn how to self-regulate. And this isn't just for the birth parent. I mean, the birth parent has special qualities with skin to skin. Like I said, their skin will actually adapt to, you know, warm the baby up and stuff like that. But partners can do this too. And it is really important for partners to do skin to skin time with babies.
Totally.
So I would, yeah.
That's what, you'll see that a lot when they're, I mean, it didn't happen in the hospital. Nobody was like doing skin to skin in the hospital birth that I had. But when I had my home birth with Exley, you know, Exley was on me, and then they're like, okay, time for you to pass the placenta and get you all cleaned up. So they're like, come on, dad, take your shirt off, and then put Exley over there while I did my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Can. Get that microbiome, all that stuff. Get the baby regulated to your family. It's really amazing. So definitely do lots of skin to skin with your babies. They're never too old. Well, my 21 year old's probably too old, but you know,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I would just like to report that I busted my nail when I hit my finger on the desk.
Oh my God.
It's completely cracked and super deep down to the skin too.
Oh,
I'm so annoyed.
You must have hit it pretty hard.
I did. It was, the metal handle of the drawer in front of me.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
Sacrifices.
Back to newborns. I know. Who knew this was such a dangerous job? I
know. we put ourselves in the line of fire.
I put myself right in the face of danger every day.
For the podcast. Yes. Okay, the next one is avoiding bottles. And that is sometimes you can't avoid it. So controversial. Sometimes you can't avoid it. If you can avoid it, do avoid it. And that is what, and one of the reasons why I put this is because I personally don't like people pumping too soon because it can cause an oversupply if you pump too soon. And we don't want that, right? We don't want that for anybody.
Right.
So the reason why I said avoid bottles is if you're kind of like, let's have somebody else feed the baby. This is, you know, and you're on like day four, my husband wants to feed the baby or my partner wants to feed the baby. So we're just going to pump a bottle and have somebody else feed the baby. That isn't something that needs to happen in the first 2 weeks of life. That baby needs to figure out breastfeeding and get acclimated to breastfeeding, and offering bottles too soon can be problematic. Now, you do have situations if you're separated from your baby, like, you know, if they're still hospitalized or something like that, where sometimes bottles come into play. There is other things that hospitals can do, but sometimes they choose not to. They can actually cup feed the baby. They can spoon feed the baby, but a lot of times they'll just bottle feed the baby because it's just easier for them to do that. If you really don't want your baby to have a bottle in the first, you know, day of life when you're there at the hospital and they need to get something else into that baby, you can ask them about cup feeding. They can cup feed a little bit of whatever needs to be cup fed to the baby, or spoon feed. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're just like, I just want someone else to feed the baby, try to hold out for a couple of weeks. Let your baby really kind of learn how to breastfeed. And once they're into it, like usually only a couple of weeks, and then it's fine to go back and forth in between bottles and breast. But the first couple of weeks, just let your milk supply become your milk supply.
let you get used to breastfeeding, let the baby get used to breastfeeding, and then you can do bottles whenever you want to after that. But really, it's just bottles are just more, it's more work, really.
It is. It is. I mean, breastfeeding really does help you like rest and recover and like, you know, even just the act of breastfeeding helps like your uterus contract back to its, you know, state mostly from before. And it helps like, it just helps, it facilitates. So when we say like breastfeeding is so much more than food, it's like, you don't have to think about anything. I feel like when you start introducing bottles, it's like, then you're kind of like, then you're not doing skin to skin. Then you're not, you know, doing things that you would like comfort nursing or all of that. And then, you know, without even realizing it, then we're kind of missing out on some other things that could be facilitated simply through breastfeeding during those early weeks.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. And then you have to pump,
yeah,
which is like a whole nother thing to do, and clean all that stuff. It's a lot to do. So if somebody wants to be involved with taking care of the baby, have them do help you with bath time, have them do diaper changes. I know like nobody wants to be the diaper changer. I know that. I get it. And a lot of times I've had dads be like, well, I'm just a dedicated diaper changer. Well, the baby needs that too.
Then just you're be fulfilling the best a diaper need. Changer there ever was.
Really?
It's like, seriously. Do you remember that Friends episode when, did you watch Friends?
No, not really.
Oh, there's an episode where Phoebe, you know, Phoebe is like, she's kind of like,
she's kind of flaky.
Eccentric. Yeah. And, you know, so they were like, they didn't want Phoebe to like organize this birthday party or some shit. And they're like, okay, Phoebe, you can have cups. You do cups. And then like, so they show up and everything is made of cups. There's like cups decorations. There's cups. There's cups. Like she just went like overboard with cups because she got assigned cups. just go crazy with whatever your job is because it's important. Who's going to change the baby's diaper?
I know.
That's not an insulting job to have.
It's necessary.
You're
fulfilling a need and you're bonding with the baby through a diaper change. Believe it or not, you are bonding with your baby. You are fulfilling a need for that baby. It's really important. And people just go, oh, I don't want to be the diaper changer. Well, I mean, sometimes somebody's got to be the diaper changer.
Yeah.
Or be the, you know, be the person that helps with the bath. Or be the person that holds the baby after the feeding and burps the baby and helps him to settle down. You know, there's lots of things to do. There's not just one thing to do. There's so
actually
many.
Actually, do all those things. If you're the partner of somebody who just had a baby, do all of those things.
Mm-hmm. So much stuff to do.
Yeah.
And, oh, we should take a break before we move on.
Ah, okay. Alrighty. Will we be right back? We will be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Similre Breast Pumps. Similre Breast Pumps wants you to have control of your pumping journey. With a continuous focus on research and development and a team comprised of CLCs, Similre Breast Pumps strives to offer pumps for every lifestyle. Similre Breast Pumps has pumps as tiny as a sticky note and also fully adjustable pumps with 85 combination settings, including their brand new S7. With all of these pump options, you're in control of your pumping journey. They also have resources like virtual breast shield sizing consultations in English and Spanish. And then also an exclusive Get the Right Fit program that offers a third set of breast shields for free if the ones that come with the box don't fit. Similre gives you vital tools for a successful journey, a safe choice for everyone. All Similre pump parts and storage bags are phthalate and BPA free. Better yet, Similre breast pumps can be personalized with a fun pump skin decal. See the whole pump family at SimilreBreastPumps.com. That's C-I-M-I-L-R-E breastpumps.com. And you can use code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. And today's episode is also brought to you by Mama's Liquid Love Breast Milk Jewelry. Mama's Liquid Love is a way to hold on to memories, mark milestones, and show the people you love that they mean the world to you. Moms all around the world mail Mama's Liquid Love their inclusions, and through a unique chemical and mechanical process, they convert your inclusions into a beautifully crafted keepsake. Mama's Liquid Love has created over 25,000 pieces in the past 10 years for moms around the globe, so you can trust them with your liquid gold. Mama's Liquid Love specializes in high-quality, expertly crafted DNE keepsakes made from breast milk, hair, ashes, placenta, umbilical cord, and flowers. Your breastfeeding journey will end someday, but you can keep this keepsake forever. You'll find 150 pieces to choose from on mamasliquidlove.com. That's M-A-M-M-A-S, liquidlove.com. And you can use code BADASS for 10% off of your purchase. And today's sponsors and the promo codes can be found in the show notes under this episode, wherever you are listening from. And they can also be found over at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, where you will also find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Yes. So the next one is to breastfeed on demand. Really important to breastfeed on demand. I mean, especially in the beginning, because this will set you up for a really great milk supply if you are just breastfeeding on demand, and it'll help keep you more comfortable as your milk is coming in and you're feeling more full. Just breastfeed on demand. Don't worry about time frames. Don't worry about, well, it hasn't been 3 hours yet. Don't worry about, oh, the baby should be feeding for only 15 minutes per side. None of that stuff should be happening at all. Just feed on demand. Just respond to your baby. Your baby's fussy, put them to the breast. Your baby's hungry, put them to the breast. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just breastfeeding on demand is really, really important. And it ensures that babies get the nutrition that they need. It sets you up for a really great milk supply. The more frequently you're feeding, especially in the beginning, the more milk you have, and the more milk you have long term, it just is the way to go. You just got to feed them on demand. And it's responsive to the baby.
Yes. And that is a whole physical as well as emotional and psychological process being set up for their whole entire lives.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when the baby is just first here, they really need to know that they are safe and secure and that you are there. And when you are responding to their needs all the time and you're just putting them to the breast when they need to be, you are telling them, I'm here, you are safe. And that's really important. Yeah. And like Abby said, that sets them up for the rest of their life for secure attachment. Super important.
Yeah.
Rest when you can is the next one. That can be really hard. And I had a family this week that they were like, we're really worried about the sleep deprivation because it's for some people, well, for most people, sleep deprivation is a very hard thing. And some people do a little bit better without sleep than others. I'm not one of those people. Like my husband does better with less sleep. He's fine. He doesn't need as much sleep as I do. And then there are some people that are, you know, that need more sleep. And having a baby can really throw you off. And the sleep deprivation is a real thing. And it can be really hard. So you have to really rest when you can. And you might be somebody who's like, I'm not a nap person. I don't like naps, or I don't take naps. I can't sleep when the baby sleeps. I mean, I get that. But even if you can just rest, you don't even have to be sleeping. But if you could just like lay down when the baby's taking a nap and just kind of like regroup.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get kind of irritated when they hear this, like sleep when the baby sleeps, mm-hmm. like as if I don't have like a million other things to do.
Right.
And it's true. You do have a lot of things to do. And now is a great time to delegate some of those things, if possible, and to just simply let some of those things go. Like literally just mm-hmm. let them go. Because some things just don't matter. And it feels like it matters because we live in this world where like everything has to be like clean and tidy and we have to always be moving and doing. And just really try to see this as a time where this is just not the time.
Right.
This is not the time to just like be keeping up with all of the chores. I mean, I know some of them need to be kept up with. I get it. One of my tips for newborns and having a newborn is getting paper plates, plastic cups, and just not doing dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it all away.
Yep.
And if somebody tries to make you feel guilty about how that's how it's creating climate change, that's a bunch of bullshit. That's what all these billion-dollar companies want you to think as they dump gas into the fucking oceans and create all these problems. You are fine to be using paper plates for a little while you have a newborn.
And definitely if people want to help you, if they want to see the baby, put them to work. And that doesn't sound, I mean, it's not rude. It's not mean. But if them coming over and holding the baby while you run around and do laundry is not okay.
No.
But them coming over and seeing the baby while you rest and they cook you a meal or they do laundry for you or they take your dog for a walk or whatever needs to be done, that is okay. If they say, how can I help you? It's okay to give them a list of things to do to help you. That's what people are there for. They want to be helpful. So yes. Let them do that. Let them help you. And the other thing that goes along with this is if you can co-sleep, because that will get you more sleep if the baby is right there with you, next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I say if you can, because there are very certain specific rules that go along with co-sleeping. So as long as you're not on any medication, like if you didn't have a C-section, you're not still on like painkilling medication or anything like that. And you feel like it's, safe.
Yeah, but that's just for bed sharing. Like if you are on certain medications or you smoke or you don't have a safe, bed setup, there's resources, to find out if your situation is safe and set it up beforehand. That's like set this up before you have a baby. Set up this safe co-sleeping bed sharing situation. But mm-hmm. if it's not possible, all that means then is that the baby is going to be safe on a separate sleep surface. They can still be in a sleeper right next to you while you're in the bed and they're in a little, side co-sleeper thing or having the crib in the room. Mm-hmm. If you're in your bedroom and then you're trying to get this new baby to sleep in a nursery down the hallway, that is going to contribute to so much sleep deprivation.
Yeah. That's something I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Beforehand. Because there'll be time for that.
But yeah.
The baby should be as close to you as possible all the time.
Yeah. It's just easier for everybody.
It is
easier. Including the baby.
Yeah. And the baby knows when they're separated from you. And it might sound like we're like, oh my gosh, keep the baby with you all the time. But that's.
Well, yeah.
It's important to keep the baby with you all the time. Mm-hmm. Keep the baby close because that's what they need. They need to be close to you all the time
mm-hmm.
for them to feel secure. And then they cry less, they're happier, everybody's happier.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we get the sleep thing is really hard. It's just
it's so hard.
I mean, it gets a little bit better as the baby gets a little bit older. But I always keep thinking about that one person that you said that you knew that said to you, as long as I just accepted, once I accepted that there was no sleep, then it was better.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. You start chasing sleep and it's almost like it just, it's frustrating if you're trying to make something happen that's just not going to happen. Like if you're trying to make a newborn or expecting a newborn to sleep 8 hours at night, and then they're not, it's just like it, you just turn in, it makes you very frustrated.
Right.
But if you know and you're, and you have the information that this newborn's not going to sleep at night, they're not capable of that. It's not safe for them to sleep all those hours at night, which is why they don't. Then you just, then, you know, if you know that, then it can just having the information can just be, and just give in, like you said. When I finally gave in to the fact that we weren't going to sleep for the first year.
Now, I've had some families that were concerned that their baby, because their baby was up every couple hours, that their baby was not going to get enough sleep for brain growth.
Oh no,
that's not going to happen. Your baby's definitely getting enough sleep. It's just fractionated or whatever the word is.
It has to be, because their brain is not ready to go into that deep sleep that people go into when they sleep extended periods of time. They're not ready for that. And it sounds wrong. It sounds like, no, they should be in a sleep. You know, that's good for us. Sleep is so good for us. That's true. Sleep is good for you. But like naps are what babies are supposed to have.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be kind of in this light sleep that they can come out of frequently, which is why, and I always say this, which is why formula is a SIDS risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because it puts them into a deeper sleep and it's just not safe. Now, obviously, I used formula too.
I did too. Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, it happens. People use it. But I'm talking about the science behind newborn brains and sleep.
Yeah. So your baby will absolutely get the sleep they need. So don't even worry about that. And the last thing on the 5 tips to breastfeeding success, newborn edition, is call a lactation consultant. If you are struggling at all with breastfeeding, if you are having a hard time, if you have been triple feeding since you got home from the hospital, if you have been using a nipple shield for a month, like call a lactation consultant. And I know people kind of drag their feet with doing that sometimes, or they don't want to pay for it because their insurance isn't covering it, which I get that. But it is important. This is important. This is your baby and your baby's nutrition and your baby's health and well-being. This isn't just some, oh, it's okay, it doesn't really matter. This matters. And having a lactation consultant that you can bounce stuff off of, that you can talk to, that you can make sure that your baby is feeding the way they need to be fed, that your milk supply is where it needs to be, and that everything is okay. But don't struggle for months, because I hear that from people all the time. Oh, my friend is still triple feeding and the baby is 3 months old. Or, you know, my friend is, or I, you know, had a really hard time for the first at least 4 months and then it got a little bit better. Don't do that. Don't just figure it'll get easier.
I mean, just like most problems, they're easier to solve the earlier that you catch them. And if you're having issues, like the lactation consultant doesn't want you to call them when you've been dealing with a problem for 4 months. I mean, they do, but they're also like call them earlier. Like people are like, well, I'm not really sure if it's a problem. I don't want to call. I don't want to be a bother. You know, that's not how it is. That's like the fire department doesn't want you to call them when your house is like completely engulfed in flames. They'd rather you call like really as soon as you think there's an issue. That's just better for everyone involved. They don't have to walk into a huge like 4-alarm fire. I say 4-alarm like I know what that means. I don't know. A big fire. whatever that is.
Yeah, it is definitely, you know, sooner rather than later. If you're having pain, any of that stuff, call a lactation consultant.
Even if you're not, I swear, like, what if somebody called you and was like, I don't think I'm having any problems. I don't really know. I've never breastfed before. Like, I don't, like, I can't put my finger on anything specific, but like, I just want to make sure I'm doing like what I'm supposed to be doing. Are you going to hang up on them?
No, no way. I mean, I love it when people are proactive and they just, you know, and I've had people do that. They're like, I just want to check and make sure the latch is good and everything's okay. And that the baby's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, that is money well spent.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with peace of mind.
Right. Yeah. And then you can get it solved and usually with one visit.
There's always questions. Don't tell me you have no questions. Because there's always going to be questions.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, you can Google everything, but...
Don't Google things. Nice to, that's what I did. No, because you don't... You're just going to get bad information.
I know.
It's not going to... It doesn't work.
You need information specific to your situation. And that's what a lactation consultant's going to do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it.
Thanks for listening.
And no, I was just going to say, stay tuned for other upcoming editions of the 5 tips to breastfeeding success.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.